Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
In the coming weeks, states will be able to compete for what we're calling a Race to the Top award.
These schools are teaching children 11 months a year, 5.5 days a week, for a cost that's two-thirds of what the cost is in the regular public school in Newark.
So President Obama and Governor-elect Chris Christie, both of whom we heard there, both made headlines yesterday in speeches on education reform. President Obama was at a Wisconsin charter school to announce the Race to the Top grants worth $4 billion. But they're not just going to give away that money. They're going to make states compete for it. And in order for New York State to be in the running, it's going to have to make some big changes. The primary one is that schools must tie student performance to the evaluation of teachers, a practice now actually banned by law in New York State. Meanwhile, in New Jersey, Chris Christie chose a nationally recognized charter school in Newark for his first news conference as governor-elect. Standing side by side with Newark Mayor Cory Booker, a Democrat, Christie talked tough about turning around poorly performing urban schools. So joining me now to talk about the Obama administration's Race to the Top, as they call it, and where New Jersey and New York are in the pack vying for some major federal funds and the Christie appearance, are WNYC's education reporter Beth Fertig and WNYC's Bob Henley, who's been out on the trail with Bloomberg and Christie and everybody else who ever ran for anything. And of course, Beth has the new book, Why Can't You Teach Me to Read? Three Students and a Mayor Put Our Schools to the Test.
Thanks for the plug, Brian.
Available now.
I would do it with any other guest, so here you are. I'll do it with you.
She didn't bring a copy,
awesome,
though,
thank
so she's
you.
Self-producing.
So New York State would have to change what Obama calls a firewall law. Here he is explaining what that is.
Now, here's what a firewall law is. It basically says that you can't factor in the performance of students when you're evaluating teachers. That is not a good message in terms of accountability.
Wow, is Barack Obama talking to Governor Patterson in the New York State Legislature there, Beth?
Well, it was interesting that he didn't mention New York. He mentioned other states. He was in Wisconsin, which is on the verge of overturning its firewall law. He mentioned California, which has been making changes. He mentioned Indiana. And then he singled out places like New Haven that have, on the verge of signing a new contract with their union, which will allow measuring performance of teachers. So there was no word about New York. But what I'll say is there's been a lot of speculation that this law in New York, which was passed with the full backing and support of the teachers union to prevent data from determining which teachers are going to get tenure, is seen as a barrier. On the other hand, it's set to expire in June. So that's why the chancellor of the State Board of Regents, Merrill Tisch, has said this really should not be a barrier to the state's competition for the Race to the Top Fund, which is $4.35 billion worth of grants that they're going to give out to states that agree to certain reforms. And I should also say that the measuring of teachers isn't the only reform that states have to agree to. They also have to promise to have a data system that'll track students all the way so that teachers can see how they're doing and measure their performance and hopefully get students to do better. They also have to agree to shut down or help turn around failing schools. And they have to come up with better assessment systems, which is something New York State has definitely agreed to do already.
And here's the president again laying out other key reform measures that he says states should make in order to compete for this Race to the Top education funding. Here he's talking about better testing.
This is not just about more tests, because I know that in the past people have been concerned about, is this about standardized tests, or are we going to have our young people being taught to the test? That's the last thing we want. What we want to do is finally get testing right.
Now, you got to give the president credit here, Beth. He is right into the two most contentious hot-button issues having to do with education reform, standardized tests and teacher compensation based on performance.
Right. And throughout this speech, he struck those two themes again and again of one that sounded very tough on the teachers by saying things like, we have to do a better job of rewarding outstanding teachers, and I've got to be honest, we have to do a better job of moving bad teachers out of the classroom once they're given an opportunity to do it right. So he's striking this balance of saying, we want to get better teachers, but we also want to work with you. We don't want to make it totally about the tests, which is what teachers oppose. And he chose to speak at a unionized charter school yesterday. So that's why at the end of the day, the National Education Association, the largest teachers union in the country, was able to say, Wisconsin is the latest example of what's possible when educators, school boards, and other education stakeholders work collaboratively. So the message here is Obama is able to talk tough while also appealing to the unions by offering to work collaboratively. Now, they're also, they see there's a Democrat in the White House. They've got to work with him.
Now, as I understand the UFT's position in New York, they have accepted the idea of performance for pay, that is pay for performance, but only on a group basis, so that all the teachers in a given school could be
right.
measured together, but they don't want individual teachers to be assessed on performance and have that tie to their pay
right.
because they say it's unfair. You never know what particular kind of a class you're going to get from year to year. So would that be enough to serve the Obama administration's requirements for getting this race to the top education funding, this collective school-by-school pay for performance?
I'm not sure. You know, the federal guidelines are going to come out either at the end of November or beginning of December. They were supposed to come out around now, but they put it off. And that will enable states to make their applications. On top of that, there's a separate pot of about $600 million for districts to apply to for more specific reforms. But I think the general goal here is to come up with ways of measuring teachers. And it, you know, he says that they should come up with ways of rewarding teachers for high-need districts, to keep teachers from fleeing to places that are going to pay them better. So I think those general goals are in there, but the specifics aren't very clear yet.
And Bob Henley, does New Jersey have a similar law?
Now, I don't know that if they do have such a law. All that I know is that there has been a battle, a defining battle, where the New Jersey Teachers Union was very much a Democratic organization, has supported, you know, the Democrats historically. I know that Christie's decision to come yesterday to the Robert Treat Academy, which is a K through 8 nationally recognized charter school, which incidentally was founded by Steve Adubato Sr., who is a major political force Democrat within Newark, out of the North Ward there, to also have the Democratic County Executive Joe DiVincenzo there and Cory Booker, really was turning a page in terms of setting an agenda. Christie is really laying down the gauntlet for what he calls the education bureaucracy. And I have to say, there is something, I've covered these issues for a long time, and there is a sense of complacency and we'll have a panel, we'll have a blue ribbon group, we'll get around to it, we'll study it. 6 months in a semester is a lifetime for a child. And all this political debate about, I want to protect my workers' rights, I want to make sure that I have tenure, we have dribbled away generation after generation of kids who have gotten mediocre to substandard education. And I feel the ground is shifting around that.
And so he ran on property taxes first and foremost, but the very first appearance that Chris Christie makes as governor-elect is at a charter school in Newark, and maybe just as surprisingly, Democratic Mayor Cory Booker stood there right next to him.
I've got a governor-elect right now who chose for his first place to go, he chose the city of Newark.
Little correction there in the sense that it was an interesting protocol because you had the governor-elect with the first appearance, so there was a state flag. Cory took a very humble position by the door behind the cameras and was with Christie whenever he walked through the building for the tour, and it was a great place. I got to say, it was 450 kids in their uniforms, a mosaic of every ethnic group that's in Newark, energized. These kids go on to the top private high schools in the nation and then on to Ivy League educations and make a commitment to come back to Newark. It's like, I think for every kid that gets in, 10 households, some exponential number are turned away. So And from this standpoint, Booker was had his own press conference after Christie left, but clearly was there kind of in a humble way as the mayor, but he wasn't standing next to him as such.
Right. And, you know, still it makes the symbolic point that the Democratic mayor of Newark, who supported John Corzine so much that he even called into this radio show on Monday morning to stump for Corzine, would appear with Chris Christie on day one.
I think he's concerned that actually, in some ways, is a new alignment opening up because you have Arne Duncan, you have President
Obama's education secretary.
You have a Bloomberg, a Republican, independent, whatever you want to call him, the party of the month, and Booker, and then other mayors around the country. And Chris Christie, there is an emerging consensus that we can't wait any longer to get it right. We can't wait another school year. That time is now.
And they're all pushing the unions.
Right, and here's the thing. We're in a period of time, I've said this before, renegotiating the social contract where I guess 85% of the wealth has to go to the banks. So that leaves, I'm overstating it, but so that leaves 15% or whatever. There's a minimal amount of public sector money, and it's not going to expand. So we have to use what we have effectively.
And Christie obviously wants more of that public money for education to go to charter schools. And so here,
and Robert Treat is not unionized, by the way. Thank you.
The charter school that they visited.
That was not unionized.
And we also confirm that New Jersey does not have a firewall law, so it's not illegal in the state of New Jersey to tie teacher pay to performance. But here's Christie at that Robert Treat charter school in Newark yesterday.
These schools are teaching children 11 months a year, 5.5 days a week, for a cost that's two-thirds of what the cost is in the regular public school in Newark. And so what I've said is this is a model that we should replicate all over the state of New Jersey, everywhere. And there is no reason that it cannot be replicated. You know, that's been my frustration over time with the educational bureaucracy in this state. It is not as if we're walking around in a dark room and we say, I wish we could just find the light switch. The light switch is on. It's here.
So about 45 seconds of Chris Christie referencing, as you said, Bob, the educational bureaucracy, saying he wishes we could replicate this kind of school all over the state. Was it a message that it is a non-unionized charter school?
I don't know. I think the fact that it was also the fact that Steve Adubato, who is a major Democratic power broker, I mean, he's a kingmaker within the state of New Jersey, and the fact that the Democrats were there, the local county executive. I will say that there has been an ongoing problem. Once a teacher is identified as a problem, you need, in New Jersey, unless it's a felony, an army of lawyers to get them out. And there is a problem with performance and with lifelong tenure.
He also did mention vouchers yesterday, right? So is it going to be part of the Chris Christie agenda to try to get vouchers for private school enacted somehow under the U.S. Constitution in New Jersey?
I think there's going to be desire to do anything out of the box that will get a transformation for kids now. I mean, there's it's odd about this. For some reason, the most important thing we say is our children, blah, blah, blah. We don't act that way, though. I mean, if you talk about it, if you want change, and I don't know if this is the right thing or not, but the people that want to be in the debate now are really pushing on both sides quickly.
And Beth, the UFT, the teachers union in New York, is entering into negotiations for their next contract. Is all of this going to come up on the New York side with President Obama kind of throwing down the gauntlet?
I'm not really sure how much change you can get in this contract. The negotiations have been going on for a while. The contract expired on October 31st. The union has its election coming up for its president in March, I believe. And the city doesn't have a lot of money to give out. There's a $5 billion deficit. So any sweeteners that Bloomberg could offer right now are pretty limited. So while everybody's talking tough, it has been noticed that in the past the city has not really gotten a huge dramatic change in work rules in the teacher's contract. What it has done is it's gotten more time or longer work day in exchange for a total of 43% in raises over the past 7 years to the teachers. There are some people who think that the mayor has been too close with the union. The union didn't endorse in this year's mayor's race. So there's a lot of skepticism about what the union and the mayor, whether they're going to get significant change. On the other hand, I could tell you that this pressure is not going away. And the union wants to be seen as collaborating. They don't want to look like obstacles to reform, which is why you have Randy Weingarten, the head of the National American Federation of Teachers, the parent for the United Federation of Teachers here in New York City, and the NEA, the larger national union, both talking about collaborating. They want to look like they're working with this president. And it's significant that this year the UFT made a pact with the Gates Foundation to agree to a voluntary study of what makes teachers effective, where teachers who volunteer for the study will be videotaped and their test scores will be looked at in exchange for, you know, a small stipend over 2 years. So, you know, I don't know if the mayor will be able to make something like that more binding in this contract, or if they'll just agree to more studies, or if they're just going to focus on getting rid of what they perceive to be problem teachers. Mm-hmm. There's this large pool of teachers who are substituting right now who continue to be on the payroll. The teachers union feels like those teachers are unfairly stigmatized because some of them are, you know, in that pool because they have high salaries and other principals don't want them. But I think you're going to see a lot of talk about this.
All right. Interesting times on this election week in education, in New York, in New Jersey, nationally. WNYC's Bob Henley.
Thanks, Brian.
WNYC's Beth Fertig, the author of Why Can't You Teach Me to Read? Thank you both very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in just a minute, tying technology, blogs, and other things to business in emerging nations, and understand what's going on elsewhere in the world through bridge blogging, a translation of blogs from other countries, from other languages. We'll talk to Ethan Zuckerman, who works with all of this. He founded something called GeekCore. Stay tuned.